we are a little early on the recording, Glenn. A minute. Okay, not the end of the world. I'm just going to say where we're up to because I didn't want to start the next paragraph. We're in Zion and Bebez, and we're going to start again in case number 4 of Rabbi Eliezer. We said in 4 cases, the halachas of Rabbi Eliezer. We explained 3 yesterday. We started explaining number 4, and we decided that we're going to do it again today, so we should be able to remember, because these are new halachas of Tumah Tara that we haven't met since Chagiga. We did have it in Chagiga, but Chagiga was a little while ago, and therefore, we have to mention it. We're going to be starting on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th line into the wide lines. The 9th line into the wide lines. V'idach. And the other case, which is case number 4, that we passing about the Eliezer. Now, let me explain the rules again. The rules are, biblically speaking, an avatoma makes a reason, which can be a person or a keli. A reason cannot make a person or a keli a sheni, but can make food or drink a sheni. And by chulin, that stops there. By tumah, it moves to shlishi. By kachim, it moves to rivi. Now, there is an exception to the rule that I didn't mention yesterday, and I should have mentioned, and that is a tful yayim. A person who is tamei, ava tumah, or recently tumah, and he goes to the mikvah and he's going to be tar that night, turns into a sheni l'tumah. In halacha, meaning he's not called a sheni l'tumah, he's called a tful yayim. But for practical purposes, he is like a sheni l'tumah. He can touch chulin, he's not tamei for chulin, he's only tamei for truma. So he's similar to a sheni l'tumah. So that's the biblical similar to a sheni, a person. That's the only person that biblically is treated like a sheni. Every other person can only be a rishon. He cannot be a sheni biblically. A tful yayim is somebody who was tamei. Then he went to the mikvah, and he became tahar. He just has to wait for the sun to set. So during that interval between the mikvah and the sun setting, which can be as long as a whole day or 5 minutes, he is a tful yayim, which halachically is treated like a sheni l'tumah. So he's the man, the person, or a keli could be a tful yayim too. A keli became a rishon or an av. And now, it's going to the mikvah. Tonight, it'll be tar. Now, it's a tful yayim. So, that tful yayim is halachically like a sheni. It's not called sheni, because it never was an official pass on from a rishon. He turns into a sheni, halachically, but he's called a tful yayim. That's the biblical person who's a sheni. Besides for that, a man can never be a sheni. A keli can never be a sheni. Because the Kippurim is by kachim only, and he's like a shlishi, we're not going to get involved in that now. It's like expanding the thing beyond that we have to go. Now, here comes the Rabbanan and made a new takana. And the Gemara is going to explain later why they made it. They said, any liquid that's a sheni l'tumah or a risha l'tumah, any liquid can make a keli tamei and make the keli into a risha, which means that keli will be more severe than the liquid that made it tamei. Because this liquid that's a sheni can't be matame chulin food. It's a sheni. Chulin doesn't go beyond sheni. So what Chazal came along and said is if this liquid touches a sheni on the inside, a keli on the inside, the keli becomes tamei, and it's matame, it's a rishon, which now can be matame chulin. So this can be an ongoing process, meaning the sheni liquid can make the keli tamei, which makes chulin tamei into a sheni. If it's a liquid, it can make another keli tamei and make it a rishon, and it can keep on going. But that's the halacha, that a sheni has the liquid, only liquid, has the ability to make a keli tamei. They also said that if it touches it on the outside of the keli, it will only be matame on the outside, not any other part of the keli. Which other parts the Gemara is going to discuss later. The less I have to say now, the healthier I am. So it's only matame on the outside. Now, that outside becomes a reason. So you have a very interesting thing, that the outside of the Keli is a reason, and the inside of the Keli is Tahar. That's what you have. Yes, doctor?
We've got a flip. You're leaving out the handle and stuff.
Again, you told me this yesterday, and I answered your question a minute ago. I said I'm not going to talk about the other parts of the Keli until I have to, so why should I leave? I'm not leaving anything out. I'm not addressing it.
I'll give you the zip code for it. Two questions. Number one, are we differentiating between metal and crystal?
No.
And number two, you said when you have this liquid, which the Rabbanan will take it to a Rishon, on the inside, that leaves the outside tahor, right?
No.
No?
No. If it touches on the inside, the whole Keli is tame. If it touches it on the outside, only the outside is tame.
I remembered incorrectly.
Okay. Dr. Gemara, this not. Again, I forgot how many lines I said. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines from the top of the wide lines. Now, Achayri Kalim Shinitmu Bamaskin, the back of a Keli that became Tame from a Maskin that's a Shani. Now, that Keli becomes a Rishon. Rabbi Eliezer Reimer, Metamenes HaMaskin, it will only be Metame Maskin. It will be Metame other liquid and make it a Rishon. But the aim points on the Sayachron. But that back of the Keli will not be Metame food. So here comes Eliezer and limits this Chumrah Drabonon. Drabonon said that this liquid that's a Shani touches a Keli on the back, the Keli becomes a Rishon, which can now make other liquid into a Shani, but it won't make other food into a Shani. Because biblically there's no Tumah, it's a rabbinic Tumah, and Drabonon limited it to liquid, not to solid. Why? We will see later. No whys. We don't know what the other Mandiyama has. Maybe it's Matami food too. I don't know. Vain place on his eyes. Matami is a masculine. He explains himself. I feel it to Kulim. This Keli, which is a rabbinic Rishon and a biblical zero, is Matami masculine even if it's Kulim and makes it a Shani Latuma. Vain place on his eyes. I feel it to Truma. And if it touches Truma food on the outside, won't even make it not tummy at all. That's the rest. Rabbi Shua, I may hear your machlokes. Metaminus of Kavuchaymer. He says he can't understand how it doesn't possible food. He can't understand it. Rabbi Yezra has just made a very interesting line of demarcation. That Kulan liquid is more susceptible to Truma, to Tuma, than Truma solid. Dr. Rabbi Shua, that doesn't make any sense. I will show you that Truma is more susceptible than Chula. Uma Tuyayim. A Tuyayim is a Shani. Shayim a Tamei Maske Chulim. Like, when he touches Chulim, it's not Tamei. Chulim doesn't go beyond Shani. Sorry? Metamei is a Maske and a place on the Eichlin. You're right, I skipped a lot. He says it does make the Eichlin Tamei. Amar Bishua. By the way, only Tributi. Kavuchaymer. Uma Tuyayim. Shayim Metamei Maske Chulim. A Tuyayim who can't make liquid Tamei. He's a Shani. He's the biblical Shani who can't make liquid of Chulin Tamei. Paisa likely Truma, but if he touches food of Truma, it becomes a Shlishi. A Chayri Kalim, Shemitami Maske Chulim, the back of the Keli, which rabbinically can make Maske Chulin Tamei, Eid Adin Shepaisa likely Truma. Wouldn't the Rabbanon treat food of Truma more severely than liquid of Chulin? Because you see, in biblical ways, that way. You see, in biblical, that Truma is more strict than Chulin. So how can you come along and say that this back in the Keli is Metami Chulin liquid and not Metami food of Truma? Rabbi Eliezer's response is, Achayre Kalim is a Drabbanon. The whole Tuma of the back of the Keli is rabbinic. Utvuyayim is a Deraisa. Rabbanon is a Deraisa. True, in the Deraisa, food of Truma is stricter, but in the Rabbanon, it's not. The Midraisa, Eirechu Matami Kli, Vei Maske Matami Kli. Midraisa, this Keli wouldn't even be Tame. No food can ever be Matami Keli. No liquid can ever be Matami Keli. Rabbanan the Gazer, Rabbanan made the Gzeira. We'll find out in a moment why. I just want to catch up with Rashi. So once they made the Gzeira, it's rabbinic. Once it's rabbinic, it is considered different than, it's different than biblical. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no Kavu Chaimah from rabbinic to biblical. Okay,
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can I ask a question before we do? This is a bigger question, and tell me if I'm just way off base here. It seems to me, what's bothering me is that the status of being Tame or Tuma is a spiritual status. And is it a huge chiddush that the Rabbanim came in and created a rabbinic Tame? In other words, they extended it, even though it's a spiritual status, they extended it in their own way with their own with their own restrictions, and there may be leniencies here or whatever. But do we have any other instances where human beings came in and changed a spiritual status without following the directives of the Torah? So a person can change their spiritual status if they're a goy and they moil themselves and they convert according to a prescription. A human being can change the status of the calendar and the spiritual state by identifying the moon for Rosh Chodesh, but that's following directives. Here they're creating a quasi spiritual status or a guarding spiritual status. Is that a chiddush?
You know, you're right. It is. But there's two answers to you. Number one, they did it because they were worried about biblical trauma. So they made this extension as a fence, for lack of a better word, as a guard to keep people away from biblical trauma. And how this comes from biblical trauma, we'll see in a moment. So that's why they did it. Now, once
I know, I know it. Yeah, I know it, but
they finished, does it create a spiritual effect or not? I'll tell you yes, but if you argue that not, it doesn't change the fact. They treat the person as tameh to keep him away from real tuma, from biblical tuma. Now, I personally believe that when Rabbanu did such a thing, they have the ability to change spirituality of what it does. But can I prove that to you? I don't know. And it doesn't change the facts on the ground, because even if they didn't change the spiritual effect, they changed the practical effect, that people that were Tamim and Drabanan couldn't touch certain things and had to keep away from certain things. Whether they're spiritually affected or not spiritually affected, the practical effect is the same. I happen to think that when Rabbanan do it, they do affect the spiritual effect. But, you know, for me to prove it to you, I would have to look for proofs. But it doesn't make a difference.
So it could be that this is
spiritual or not. It's practically.
So it could be just really saying rabbinic Tamei Tuma is really something that is just a set of words designed to make everybody clear on what they're doing, that it's just a sophisticated defense to a serious behavior.
It could be that, yes. I mean, the reason was definitely that. The reason they did it was to keep away people from Tumah. Now that they did it affect spirituality or not? We can sit here and debate. At this point, I have no proof. I happen to believe that it does. You know, again, from other cases when you're about to change things, they have the ability to change things by decree. Again,
do you have any examples? I'm trying to think of another example where they did that.
I can show you the power of Drabanan. That I can show you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you an example. I just don't want to spend too much time on the example. The Yerushalmi says that the fact is that a girl under 3 who has a relationship, her virginity comes back. Her blood, her whatever it's called, blood of virginity, hymen, comes back. Once she's over 3, the Gemara says, it does not come back. That's a Mishnah. That's accepted fact in Gemara. Now, what happens if a girl's birthday was Beis, other Beis, second other? And Bezin in those days, they didn't have a calendar. They decided whether they're going to add an other in the middle of other Rishon. It was one other. So she turned three days other because there was only one other. And then Bezin decided to have a second other. So she had a relationship after her third birthday, but now Bezin decided that she never had a third birthday by adding a month. Yerushalmi says that her hymen will grow back. Because Bezin's decision to change whether she had a birthday or not will physically change her. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So,
That's a change of physical state. Is that a change of spiritual state?
Okay, again, I can't find the proof. I hear your question, but again, I don't have another example of it. That's not good.
We can talk about this later today, but what on earth makes you say that there is anything spiritual about
this? Okay, this is not. Here we go. Okay, fine. Let's not go there. I'm not going there.
I don't understand that statement of culture.
Okay, so fine. There's a lot of things in life I don't understand, but we move on anyway. You know, somebody once asked the Raghatever a question, and the Raghatever wrote him back. You know, the Raghatever never wrote long answers. He just said, look here, look here, look here, look here, and you were supposed to look at those four places and put together what the answer is. Well, the Raghatever wrote him a whole letter where to look, and not one had anything to do with his question. So he went to somebody and said, what does this answer mean? So the person pointed out that every case, Tysus left the Kasha and moved on to the next Tysus. Zakti Gemara. Yes.
She was called a famer. What is he focusing on in the ability for the or the susceptibility of the
what difference does it make?
Because you can make a difference that this Tuyoim is his state becoming a Tuyoim is like a unique
that's the answer, only answer. Different words. He said that's the right, that it's a Drabbana. Don't compare that.
Without saying that it's the right Drabbana.
Well, if it would be a Drabbana, they would follow the same getter.
He becomes a Shani who becomes a
I don't care how he became a Shani, who cares? Rashi, second wide line. Achayri kelim darminu lekaman acharayim tameim v'taychet tahar. The tumas maskin l'tamik kelim drabanam. V'alchi with the gazer, so hit v'taychet b'negiyas achayrav. That his inside won't become tamay by touching the outside. That's what they said. Only the outside becomes tamay. V'taymeh b'fayrish b'chayris. Why did they do that? Why did they say that outside can become tameh and the inside is tahor? And what's the logic behind that? The answer is, it's not logical. The reason they did it is Avdu Rabbanan HaKeira B'Hach Toma. They wanted the people to know that this is rabbinic. And the way they did it, the later edition of Rabbanan, he like this and like Kukukachim. They wanted you to know it's rabbinic. So they said, if it touches the inside, it's all tameh, but if it touches the outside, we're only going to make the outside tameh. And everybody's going to say, huh? And the answer is yes, huh? So you should remember it's rabbinic.
Some tahor has the same property?
I don't know what you mean by that.
It gets coming from the outside.
This is rabbinic.
Damn.
Yes. Chenitbu b'maskin, or maskin b'sheretz. The maskin got its tumah from a sheretz. V'avi rishaynim, the maskin is a rishon. Kalim can only become Tameh from an Avatama, and this is a rabbinic. The Kibun Da'avum Makabel Tumah, since they're susceptible to Tumah, and we explained this yesterday, food needs to be wetted, if there's such a word, become wet, before it's susceptible to Tumah. Liquid is susceptible to Tumah in its essence. Therefore, it's more susceptible to Tumah. Therefore, b'tamei b'chol dehu, we're more machmer in them becoming tamei. Liyash v'shaynim, listen to what happens. We make the keli a reason, v'yipsul is ha'shaynim b'chulam. And then that keli can be b'tamei another liquid. V'ayim paislan is ha'ayichlan. Rabusa kamatani. It's a chiddush. Now, fill a mipsul le'pasli. It doesn't even make it tamei itself. Because it befires time of basel, like the Gemara explains. Tuyoim Shaynihu, the Ainim Matama Maskahulam. Fuyayim is a shiny, and he cannot be metame maskav chula. The kaimelon kalapaisel is a truma, metame maskin li is chila. Chutz mitfuyayim. The Mishnah says, any shiny can make liquid into a rishon, except for a tfuyayim. The time in the fire is prepared kabbat is Shabbos, and the Gemara deals with it in the first parish of Shabbos, and at the bottom he says, no, it doesn't. It's in the first parish of Sachem. It has to be changed in Rush. We had Shabbos too. Oh, you have Sachem in the print? I have Shabbos, and at the bottom it says, Sachem, I'm prepared kabbat of Sachem. Obviously, they corrected it. The Eis V'Hadr version probably corrected it. That's what happened. I don't have an Eis V'Hadr here. You have a copy of the Eis V'Hadr in the script. No? Okay, yeah, again. They didn't. They didn't. Like, not to be. Right, Achai Rekalim, Betumas Maskin Drabonim. The Kliyanim Akabal Tumah Bidurai, Shomri Abba. This is rabbinic. Perikamad Psach. Utuyayim, Livso Eichli Tumas Duraisa. Just let me finish. He can be matame truma midiraisa. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Fine. No, he can't be matame chulin. He's a shade. No, he's matame truma. He's not been talking any cool.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, here we go. So really, let me explain what happens. A shiny latumba touches liquid. The liquid becomes a reason. And not only that, the liquid can be metami akeli and make that a reason. So we're very machmer on liquid. Now, we haven't explained yet, why did Rabbanan do this? Why did they make a whole new section of Tumma? Now, back to the Gemara. Rabbanan who did Gazer Zeram, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines at the bottom. Rabbanan made a decree, Mishum Maskin Dezav Vezava. What happens is, the saliva of a Zav or a Zava, the snot of a Zav and a Zava, the urine of a Zav and a Zava. Any liquid that exits the Zava is very Tamei. Some of it's an Av, some of it's a Rishon. And that can be Matamei a lot of things. And people will say, oh, liquid? If we're going to be Meku and liquid, people will be Meku and liquid that exits Zav, Zava, Nida, the same. And therefore, and that's common, by the way, neither was very common, right, obviously. And Zav and Zava were not uncommon. Therefore, they said liquid becomes Tamei in the extreme. Then it becomes a Rishon, like the spit of a Zav. You shouldn't confuse liquid and liquid. Maskin da'lul nekabe tuma, liquid that is more susceptible to tuma because it doesn't need to become any pre-thing, wrong way to say it, but that's lack of words. Gazur Rabbana. Eichlid, they ain't alul of Mekabal Tumah. They're not susceptible apt to be Mekabal Tumah because they need Heksher, like Gazur Rabbana. That's the fourth case of Rabbi Eliezer, and we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Rech the Gemara, Maishnah, Choy, Rechelim, the Nugget. Why do we pick the back of a Kaili? What happens inside the Kaili? Why did Rabbi Eliezer talk about the back of the keli? So the answer is, the reason he talked about the back of the keli is because the inside of the keli is stricter. Even the back of the keli, now the inside of the keli would be metame food. If it touched the inside of the keli, then it would include food also. When does Rabbi Eliezer differentiate between liquid and food? Only the back of the keli. That means this rabbinic tumah, this is where it becomes so complicated I don't know, how people lived in it because they got used to it. If the liquid that's a sheni touches the inside of the keli is completely tame. The whole keli. Back, front, side, handle, bottom, the concave at the bottom, all tame. And then it would be metame food. Even if it was. But since it's the back of the keli and the inside of the keli is tahar, that's only liquid, not food. Let's read it inside. A keli that became tamei on the outside, a chayrav tamei, the back is tamei, taychai, the inside, aznai, the lip, avnai, the handle. I'm sorry, aznai, agnai is the, what is agnai? What does he translate, agnai? The rib. And yadav, the handle, chayrav. There's all different kinds of things. You have, some kelim have a lip, not a handle, like a trinket teacup. You have that thing on the outside. I'm sorry, that's not a, yeah, that's like a, that you can hold it with. It's like a handle, but it's not a handle.
Yeah, the ear.
The ear, I'm sorry, my mistake. Take it back. The ear. The ear, the rim, the handle are not affected. The inside are not affected by the outside. The outside is considered a separate entity, even though they're all attached. By saying if it touches the inside, it's all tame. So we see that we're more strict on the inside, that would be matami food. So that's why Eliezer only talked about the outside. Rashi? So Rashi, Roikai Umeimi Raglov, his saliva and urine, say, Abbas Hatoma, to the sieve. The pasuk says that the saliva and the urine are metameh and avatum. The truth is the Torah doesn't say urine, but we learn now urine. Why can't we say the inside? That this tameh liquid touched the inside, it's also rabbinic. It's from the keli. It's more strict. So Eliezer agrees that will pass food. So sum it up. Case number four, that we pass the like Eliezer, is in this forbidding tomb that the Rabbanan said that tamei liquid can make a keli a rishon. Right? If it touches the back of the keli, the back of the keli is a rishon. And if that back of the keli touches liquid, it's a sheni. And this can keep on going over and over again. Because that shady can touch the back of a keli and make it a rishon, which will touch a liquid, make it a shady. Right? Then it's not matami food, only liquid. However, if it touches the inside of a keli, it would be matami food also. Even though it's the same rabbinic tumma, but it's stricter. Rabbi Shua argued, and he said even the back of the keli would be matami food of truma. And that, we pass in like Rabbi Eliezer, that is case number four.
Did they do this Bahayev also? Did they pass like him during his lifetime?
It doesn't say. So we'll leave that up to speculation. We'll let you write it. I have no idea. But Shmuel said, in these four cases, we pass him like a Eliezer. Fresh the Gemara. My Kamashmul and Shmuel. What is Shmuel saying? Bekulu Tnan Hilchasa. In all those four, three of the four, the Mishnah says, Hilchos de Gerb Eliezer. In our Mishnah, Ava Halacha Gerb Eliezer, first line on the page. In the second case, which was the case of the woman that gave birth, that the labor pain stopped, it said Halacha Gizvarav. In the third case, by the Bzikas of first seven that we talked about yesterday, it said Halacha Gerb Eliezer. So why did someone have to tell it to me? The Mishnah told it to me. I can read a Mishnah. The Chi Tema, you're going to answer me. Achayra Kalev Kamashma, the Leitna. In the last case of the back of the Kali, there it doesn't say it. So Lema, Lachim Leitna, Achayra Kalev. So why did you have to say it in four places? Say one place. Three I know already from a Mishnah. And for the Gemara, I'm going to say this, and I'll give a disclaimer that I have a hard time with this Rashi that's going to explain it. Very hard time. But Rashi's Rashi. And we'll try our best. she'ein ha'meidin halacha mipitachon. The fact that the Mishnah said halacha k'Rabbi'ezer has no bearing on how we paskin. If not of Shmuel, the fact that the Mishnah said that halacha k'Rabbi'ezer doesn't mean anything. Why not? Zuck Rashi. Hakam Ashmala. With the Itzruch Lamei Malu halacha. Since Shmuel had to tell me it's halacha. What does Talmud mean here? We take a Mishnah Brisa, Shishnuyim Ben Malacha Kaplani, from Mishnahs and Brises that say that Malacha is like somebody. Ain't Lameda Man. Now Rashi explains why. Shach Meroim Achroinim, that Meroim who lived later than the Tanoim, like Shmuel, it doesn't mean the later generation of a Meroim. That might be true also, but that's not what Rashi is referring to. Digdiku b'taymi atanoim. They were very careful in the reasons of the tanoim. B'amidu halacha aburya. And they established the halacha on its solid foundation. Avol rishayim, we're talking about tanoim now, like digdiku ish b'divrei chaveray. They didn't spend time thinking about the words of their friends. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer didn't go and dissect Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. He was interested, but not interested at the same time. Why? Because al kol echad mashishama merabai melam de l'tamidai. He heard it from his Rebbe. He was not interested in discussing whether Rabbi Yeshua is right or wrong, because his Rebbe taught him this. And to him, that's halacha l'maisha m'sinai. It's not halacha l'maisha m'sinai, but it's like halacha l'maisha m'sinai. My Rebbe said it to me. Shmur k'maisha hi. V'yaitse nikris mishno b'raisa. He tried to explain his halacha. Didn't ignore it, tried to explain it. One Tana said, the reason for me is this. And the other Tana said, the reason for me is this. So Yeshua said his reason. Rabbi Eliezer said his reason. Rabbi Eliezer responded to Rabbi Yeshua, why I don't agree with your reason. But he didn't get involved in why Rabbi Yeshua really said what he said. Didn't spend time analyzing, because it didn't make a difference to him. My Rebbe taught it to me. It makes no difference to me. Unless you can mamish prove that I didn't listen to my Rebbe. My Rebbe said it. Kachi Kadashim. First learn it from your Rebbe, and then try to understand it. And that was called Talmud. Learning from your Rebbe. The Mishnah had Mishnuyah Babsak Halacha, Misvaris Talmud to Lem Mishnas. They didn't spend time taking all different opinions and deciding which one makes Halacha. They knew that we're going to do our way. And then when the Mishnah said Halacha to Eliezer, it was because we accepted Eliezer's version from his Rebbe, period. Without dissecting it the way that Amaron dissected it later, Vein Lemaid and Memenu, you can't learn from it. I have a hard time with this. But this is what Rashi says, and that's all I can say. Yes?
Number one, I don't know why you say it's such a hard time with it, because you explained it very well. Number two, for anybody who has Rabbi Danziger's first parak in our scroll, note 50, he explained exactly this, also bringing in the Rishash and the Chuti Halachas and the Ritva, exactly this principle, that the function, and this is a perfectly obvious statement, the function of the Tanoim and the Amoraim are different. And especially in the case of Rabbi Eliezer, who said he never innovated a thing in his entire life. That was entirely a Sruvayim.
I'm ready to move on. You know, and sometimes I say over something to my Rabbi and people argue with me, right? Right? So, I will end the day and say, my Rebbe taught it to me, you know, I really don't care what you have to say. That's really the truth. But on the other hand, I do take what other people say a little bit serious. It's not like I ignore them, right?
There's no Gemara at that time yet.
Again, nothing was written. Mishnayos wasn't written.
It was all. But they have, eventually they made Gemara.
Again, what the Rashi is telling you, the Tanoim learned their opinions. Each dealt with the other one's questions, but didn't really get involved in the sources and understanding of why the other one held like they held. They were more interested in saying over what they heard from their Rebbeim. To them, that was true, and they only had to save it from questions. Whereas The Amoraim came, and they were finished with that. They said, okay, now we have two opinions. So what are we going to do about it? So they decided which one they decided to paskin like.
That's what they use. What word did they use? A Gemara.
There was no, there's no such word.
Especially when they wrote the Gemara down.
They used it. Now it's called Talmud. We refer to Talmud Bavli. Talmud yourself.
That's all inclusive of Mishnah.
Exactly. It's Mishnah and Gemara. If you really want to know, and I don't want to spend time on this, I'm going to say it and we'll leave it. Mishnah means halacha. And Gemara are reasons. Gemara, when we say Torah is infinite, that's the part of Gemara. It's infinite. Reasons, questions, answers, thinking, why, how, infinite. However, halacha is not infinite. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama that if you learn Tanakh and learn my Sefer, you know all of Torah. How can you know all of Torah if Torah is infinite? Torah, did you know all the halacha? Because I wrote it down. You want to know reasons? That's infinite. But if you learn Tanakh and my Sefer, you know all of Torah. Because Torah Shebaal Peh that you have to know is halacha. You want to know halacha? Learn Rambam. Now, the problem is we don't possibly like the Rambam all the time. Also, new questions came up. So today, halacha sounds infinite to us, but really, the Rambam said he knew you can know Kala Terakula by learning Tanakh and my Sefer without learning a word in Gemara. But you won't learn Kala Terakula. You won't learn Gemara. Gemara is infinite. But what we're doing now is learning Gemara, which is infinite.
The Rambam knew that eventually things are going to change. Right?
That's a good question. He didn't know what he, as far as he was concerned, he was right in every case he passed.
Right, I'm saying, but
he didn't have to deal with anybody else's opinion.
No, but
he knew that new things would come up. I guess he felt if you know his Sefer, you'll know what to do in every case. I guess. Listen, the Rambam is the most written on Sefer besides Shas and Chumash, maybe, than any other Sefer. Who doesn't write on Rambam? Yes.
I would point out the division is not as absolute as Rashi is saying, as Rabbi Danziger is saying, because we have situations where Rebbe learned from his Rebbeim and will reverse himself when he hears the words of the Yossi. We have situations where Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Yeshua hobble back and forth on a particular topic.
Yeah, but that's, again, Rashi's trying to say that's not, they did it right here.
Yeah,
and Rashi said that's not, that doesn't help.
The generations, which is obvious, the generations of the Tanoim had a different.
Okay, we'll go move on. Okay, I'm not going to argue. I really don't want to spend time on this. I disagree with what you said partially, and it's not again now, so I'm going to keep on going, if you don't mind, because I can spend the whole day talking about this.
Just give me the Rashi Tavis.
The Rashi Tavis is very simple. The Rashi is telling me that even Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, when they discussed it, it was limited discussion. Because they were only interested in preserving their own Shita more than delving into the other one. Because of what they heard from their Rebbe. Anyway, let's move on. Frank to Gemara. Besuleka, there are no more than four cases that we pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. We pass on like Rabbi Eliezer in many more cases. Vayinka. Rabbi Shmuel said a statement. In four places, we pass on like Rabbi Eliezer. That seems to be very exclusive. Four, not more. Well, we have more. Rabbi Eliezer, I remember. Malamdin is Aktana, Shetimoyim boy. This is a story, sad story. What happened was two brothers married two sisters. One was an adult lady, a girl, over 12, who was able to marry herself off biblically. So Reuven married the adult girl, and Shimon married the Aktana, which is only a rabbinic kedushin. Her mother married her off. Her father wasn't alive. Her mother married her off. It's a rabbinic marriage. So Reuven is married biblically to his wife, and Shimon is married rabbinically to his wife. That's the reality. Unfortunately, Reuven passed away without children. His wife now has to have Yibum or Chalitza from her husband's brother, who's married to her sister. The one married to the adult. Reuven married an adult lady. I don't care how old she is. She's above 12. That's all I need.
Right. Right.
And Shimon married her younger sister, who's only married to him rabbinically. Reuven passed away and has no children. So his wife needs Yibum or Chalitza. Right? The problem is, her sister is married to the brother. But it's only a rabbinic marriage. Now, how do we get that Reuven, that the brother should be able to marry Reuven's wife? How do we get the mitzvah of Yibum?
She's still a Tana.
You can do Chalitza. Not so simple. I'm not getting involved in the Gemara now. You might be able to do Chalitza. I'm not getting involved. Because biblically, she's not married. So biblically, you can do Chalitza. But he can't do Yibum because he's married rabbinically to the sister. Yeah. It's a drabbanon. It's only a sister. It's his wife's sister's only drabbanon. It's not married to her midaraisa. It's rabbinic. Biblically, it's not his wife's sister. Biblically, he has Yibum and Chalitza in front of him. But he can't do Yibum because he's married to her rabbinically, to his rabbinic wife's sister. Now, there's a way to, I'll use the word I think is correct, to annul the marriage. Not to divorce her, which breaks the marriage from now, but to make it that they were never married. And that is called miyun. A little girl under 12 can tell her husband goodbye, and that means they were never married. That means if she tells her husband, the little girl says to her, I'm walking out, then he was never married to her, so he can do Yibum to his brother's wife.
He did nothing.
Now, if he gave her a get, he wouldn't be able to do Yibum, because it's the sister of his divorcee. But if she walks out, they were never married. And I think the word is annul in English. Do it, Lemafreya.
You should reject him.
Again. She walks out. That's called, it annuls the marriage. I don't care what Arthur, I mean, I do care always what Rabbeinu Arthur says, but in this case, it's very important to say it annuls. Now, do we tell the girl to annul her marriage? Do we encourage her? Or do we say, listen, she's married to him, we're going to make up this marriage? They're happily married. We teach the Tana to walk out and therefore annul the marriage and he can do Yibum. So we see that Shmuel passes like Rabbi Eliezer. And this is case number 5. Shmuel just said 4. 4 means only 4. Here I have number 5. Well, the whole marriage is Drabonis. Everything's Drabonis.
They made up the rules what would happen anyways.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I mean, it seems like we're looking for what is the logic of can she get out of the Raisa being...
No, they did not marry the Raisa.
So everything we're talking about is Midor Abonis.
The whole marriage is Drabonis.
Including, they included the idea of
Mian, yes.
Yeah, okay.
You Raisa.
Again, he's talking about the marriage of the brother and the Ktana. He's not talking about now Yibum. Yibum is the Raisa, correct. Look, Rashi. Belamdin is Aktana. Beperik Beishamah Be'avamas. Beis Achim Nesu'im Beis Achias Yisraimus. Two brothers married, two sisters or orphans. Achav Gedayla, one is an adult, the Achav Ktana. Beis Ba'ilus O'Gedayla, V'nimtas Kuka Liyabam. Now she needs Yibum. Baal Aktana, from the husband of an Aktana. V'doichas Yikasa Nesu'a Achayit Aktana. You know, the guy who's married to the Tana can't keep on being married to her. His brother's wife, biblically, is bound to him through Yibum, the necessity of Yibum Chalitza. So now, that's biblical. So now he can't live with his wife anymore because she is the sister of his Yavama. Can't live with her. So this marriage is gone. Right? Now, because biblically, it was nothing. And if he divorces her, begets, he won't be able to do Yibum, because the bottom line is she got to get, so we view the Yavama as a sister of his divorcee, even though it's only rabbinic. She should walk out. I'm sorry, Shetimon boy, period. And Mion uproots the first marriage, Umutaliyab Magdala.
She grows up. She doesn't do anything. She becomes 12 and a half.
At what point?
She didn't do anything. He died. The guy died when she was a katana, her brother-in-law. And now she grows up. They So the whole period while she's Katana, he's Usher to her. Does he become Usher to her now?
See, Yavama is 31A. I believe.
Then there's another Isa.
Again, see, Yavama is 31A. It's just discussed in the Mishnah.
Okay.
Yes.
You said about a year ago when we were in Durham, I believe, that although there's no yet, there is a requirement of Adam for man.
Okay, so big deal. That's only for, it's not really a requirement. It's only a requirement so we should know what happened. You don't need, see, Adam by get and by Kedushin established the Kedushin or the get. Here it's just factual.
You're answering my question. Does this mean, when you said Adam back then, I thought you meant Kusher Adam. If there were two women there.
That doesn't tell us the fact.
I'm sorry?
That doesn't inform us the fact. We don't know the fact from two women. We don't trust.
Okay,
we don't believe two women.
I didn't understand.
But, okay. Zog the Gemara weiter. The Amr of Yudah Mishra Lach Kabliyaz. M for the Gemara. Ki Amr Shmua Lach Kabliyaz Ibn Dalit. Mesedra Taras. He meant four cases in Tumatara. Amu Bishar Starim. Izra and Maya Dashim Azikim and Kachim. Iketuba. There's more. I can prove it to you. Did not. Rabbi Ezra, I'm half a right of a nice and lasal, hasal matar from lechala. There's an argument when you bake breads and you didn't take off challah. How do you take off challah now? So Rabbi Ezra says, put it in one basket and that's good enough. That's considered an attachment. Other Tanaim say, no, it's not enough. We have a review of a shul, halacha Rabbi Ezra. Shmamina. So you see that we pass on Rabbi Ezra in other cases.
What theater is that
in? Zerayim. Chal is in Zerayim. Rashi, Harayit of Anais and Lasal, Ganshaya Loshas Yisasai Pokas Pokas Mechaveshas Urgoim. He needed it. It was less than a shear. I gave you an example. He forgot, but it doesn't make a difference. He needed it. It wasn't enough to take Chal off of. It was a small amount. The Paitram and Chal. This guy was looking not to give Chal. It was a little cheap. So he went and made little doughs, didn't touch them, didn't combine them. He didn't have to give a challah. Then he put it in a basket afterwards. Chayav a challah. Mitzarvan, kisharoidim in atara when he takes it out of yam. Okay. Frech de Gemara, my umme dahai mahai. You brought me a kasha from Yavamas, and you said, only by Taurus. I'll prove it to you, because he said it in Zroim. Why is Zroim a better raya than Yavamas? What are we proving more from Chala than we prove from Yibum?
It's just showing Tumah.
Again, it says, I can even prove it to you, because of Chala. Sank the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Mishum Dekoy Reb Lozer Kavase. Because the Reb Lozer holds like Reb Eliezer in Yavamas. So you can think the reason we're poskening is not because of Reb Eliezer, but because of Reb Lozer. So we bring challah where there's nobody to hold like him. The Tan, Reb Lozer, Eimer, Malam de Nesaktara, Shetabon, boy. Rashi, my Uma the High, the challah, my Hidamian, the Pashto Slaminah, that you proved it from challah, the Amr Tokinami Mistabra, makes sense. Why is the meal enough? The Mishani may eat the meal like a mashmamina. You can't prove it from meal. The Mishani is darm, ikka. That the same thing is true by everything. The Hussam should declare Reb Lozer Reb Eliezer. Don't mix up the names. Reb Lozer holds on Reb Eliezer. Because the main mashmam, the Messiah, Reb Lozer, Reb Eliezer, Shemaka Loch and Kabai Sabaha. I'm mashmam the day Luchu day Lai. Therefore, we brought him challah. Again, maybe we don't paskin like Reb Eliezer anywhere else. By Yibum, we paskin like because he has a Tana that supports him. And we support that, we hold like that Tana.
Oh, he's ashamed.
Reb Eliezer is after Reb Eliezer.
Right.
And he agrees to Reb Eliezer. So therefore we say, maybe that's why we paskin like him. Maybe if it's Rabbi Eliezer himself, we wouldn't. Only 340 again. We're not interested in the Ukasukamaisa, so we said that already. Shmuel said four cases. We asked the Kasha, there's more. The answer was that he was talking Taurus. Everywhere else, we do Paschal or Kabli as a multiple time. We prove it to Mechala. What do we need to prove from Mechala? What was wrong with the proof from Yibum? The answer is because there is a supporting cast. And maybe that's why over there we Paschal or Kabli Ezra.